I'm wondering, when you woke up this morning, how long was it before you started picking up your phone? You checked your social media feed, maybe Facebook, maybe Instagram, maybe you sent a message on WhatsApp. Funnily enough, all of those big platforms are owned by the one company, with Facebook acquiring them all over recent years. But with the book under severe scrutiny for data and privacy breaches, to the point it could be facing a $5 billion fine from the US authorities, has it gotten just that little bit too big, and does it need to be broken up? That is the opinion of none other than one of its former founders, Chris Hughes, who in an op-ed in the New York Times said, "We're a nation with a tradition of reining in monopolies, no matter how well intentioned the leaders of these companies may be." He said, "Mark's power is unprecedented and un-American." Big words. So is a breakup actually possible? Is it needed? And what would the repercussions be? Kai Reimer is a professor of information technology and organization at the University of Sydney's Business School. He's with me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks so much for joining us. It was a pretty scathing piece in the New York Times. Does Chris Hughes have a point? Is Facebook as a monopoly too big and too risky?
That's a good question. First of all, that was a long piece. It's almost an essay, 6,000 words. A fairly long op-ed, and he made a lot of arguments. And there's certainly reason to think that Facebook in its current form at least needs regulation. Some say it needs to be broken up, and he's not alone with this. People like Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic senator, and Beto O'Rourke, another nominee for the presidency, have all come out and said big tech companies such as Facebook and also Amazon, for example, or Google, need to be broken up or better regulated because of a sort of a variety of problems, right? And so I think something needs to be done because it's become pretty clear that the status quo seems to be untenable.
What are some of those problems that people put out there in the public sphere to say this is an argument why we need more regulation or Facebook needs to be broken up?
I think there's about five different ones, and I'd like to give credit here to my colleague Sandra Peter, who I run a podcast with, The Future This Week, published by the university. We've actually looked into this over recent months because this has been going on for quite a while. So if I can briefly outline those, the first one would be that they are too powerful. Mm. So in the case of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg holds 60% of the share, so he's basically the person in charge. And so Facebook gets to decide who gets on the platform, who is banned from the platform, what gets said on the platform, what gets deleted, which raises problems of censorship and just, you know, the concentration of power in one platform to have oversight of much of what the world says and how we interact with each other is a big problem. The second one would be that the way in which these platforms have become so big stifles innovation. So it's famously known that venture capitalists ask startups the what's called the Facebook question. How do you protect against Facebook just stealing or copying your idea? And that is famously relates back to how Facebook, when Snapchat became big, just copied its story features and integrated it, for example, into Instagram.
Yeah.
So these companies are really big. They wield a lot of power. And then there's two further problems to do with what is actually happening on the platform, right? So what we might call content pollution, fake news, Russian interference, the way in which the platform allows all kinds of questionable content to be spread and then surfaced and propagated, and how these algorithms actually sort of put sensationalist messages into our collective news feeds. And then there's privacy, of course, the way in which Facebook collects everything about us, how long we look at a post, what we click on, what we like, and then collates this and uses it for advertising purposes, which then points to the biggest problem, which is the conflict of interest in how users are being treated, because we must not forget that the actual product that Facebook is selling is advertising to corporations. And so the more they can invade our privacy, the more they can learn about us across these different platforms, the more valuable their product, which is us, becomes, because then they can sell very targeted advertising where you can now micro-target your message to locate someone in a region and sort of put a message in front of a very specific demographic.
At this point, is a breakup possible? Has it almost gone too far? It is what it is now, and this is what we live with.
It's becoming very difficult. Now, first of all, for technical reasons, because Facebook is working really fast to integrate Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook on what they call one social graph. So while they're still different apps and different platforms, behind the scenes, they're actually working to integrate those platforms in order to, you know, collect data to run advertising across those platforms. The more they do this, and they work hard at the moment to do this, the less it becomes practical from a technical standpoint to do this. But I think the most important one is the economics behind this, right? Facebook is so valuable because of the way in which they can collect data and target advertising. If you carved out Instagram and WhatsApp, for example, which is largely free of advertising, on its own, it might not actually be all that valuable. So sort of getting a good price at the share market, spinning off the company, might not actually be feasible. So there's an economics problem. And then the last one would be the user experience, right? The way in which these platforms become increasingly integrated increases or improves the experience of the user, who can just seamlessly go across these platforms and communicate increasingly across platforms. And so antitrust regulation in the US has always had the consumer interest at heart. So the question now is breaking up actually improving life of consumers? And that's a complex question, because it has to weigh up the way in which these platforms are usable and useful for communicating, and then the privacy argument, what we have to give up for that convenience of communicating really easily, because let's face it, we're not actually paying for those services other than by being sold to advertisers, right?
As you said, this is something that is being talked about in the presidential election race at the moment. Does it sit with the US government to drive conversations around regulation if we were to have them right now?
Funny enough, the conversation seems to be changing. There's some really interesting work being done, chiefly by a woman named Lena Khan, who, as a postdoctoral researcher, published a highly influential piece that tries to recover an earlier meaning of antitrust law. So antitrust regulation in the US has chiefly become about prices and consumer welfare. So when a company sort of keeps prices low, like Amazon does, or Facebook keeps its product free, there seems to be no need for a breakup because the consumers seem to benefit. So normally we think about monopolies as, you know, being in a position to raise prices and exploit the customers. But as long as that doesn't happen, regulators seem to have let these problems go. But increasingly, the conversation is changing back to what this conversation used to be decades ago, which is to look at the more broader picture: privacy, market power. Does it stifle competition in the labor market, for example? Do these companies treat their workforce well? And all of these tech companies have questions to answer in that respect. So there seems to be a change in conversation that might actually lead to maybe not breaking up these companies, but much more sort of heavy-handed regulation.
It feels like we have a lot of these type of conversations around Facebook, no matter what we're talking about, because it is just a model so unlike anything else. You can't really compare it to traditional media that has seen regulation around the world. You can't really compare it to some other websites because, as you said, it is this free model that's consumer driven. And we know that across the three platforms, people are still using it.
That's right. So what we try to liken it to is more like an infrastructure, right? So here's a private company that has built a product, that has built a service, but they now have become so big that it's become almost essential to be on Facebook. Maybe not for private people, but small businesses, for example, in many parts of this country, for example, you go out to the country, a lot of businesses don't have their own websites. They just open up a Facebook presence. And so being on Facebook equals being in business. And so when these platforms become infrastructure, then the question arises, should an infrastructure be in the hands of one person, or should there not be more regulation and oversight because it's become an essential part of what it means to be a citizen in this world, to be on Facebook and reachable on Facebook. And so that might actually drive the conversation around regulation, because infrastructure is usually regulated. Think of airports, airlines, telephone, roads. So all of these infrastructure, while part of it might be in private hand, is very heavily regulated. And I think this is where the conversation needs to go with something like Facebook.
Professor Remo, really interesting. I feel like we've just scratched the surface of what we could talk about. There's a lot that's a part of this topic, and as you said, a part of that op-ed. So I really appreciate you talking us through a little bit of it today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's Professor Kai Rima, Professor of Information Technology and Organisation at the University of Sydney's Business School.